Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading again a portion of our text from Habakkuk chapter 1. And Habakkuk writes these words. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Those words were written by the prophet Habakkuk some 600 years or so before the birth of Jesus, at a time when God's people in the southern kingdom of Judah had, shall we say, lost their way. Spiritual apostasy and social corruption were pervasive throughout the land, from the king all the way down to the common people. And thus, Habakkuk was frustrated with God, and he questioned God as to why God would continue to let evil and injustice prevail throughout the land among his people. He couldn't understand why God wouldn't just come in and fix things. And so God answered Habakkuk. He answered him by telling him that he was going to deal with Judah's sins by letting the Babylonians come in and conquer them, which is not really what Habakkuk had in mind. It made Habakkuk even more perplexed with God. You see, he could not fathom how a righteous God, one who is too pure to even look upon evil, could then be silent when the wicked Babylonians would come in and swallow up the people of Judah. The people of Judah, God's people, who, even though they had their issues, were obviously more righteous than the Babylonians. As I read through this lament of Habakkuk, I couldn't help but think of similar words and sentiments that had been expressed hundreds of years earlier by King David in Psalm 13, as David too wrestled with God over God's apparent apathy and God's silence. David wrote these words: How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Habakkuk's words and David's words also reminded me of my own words and prayers from years ago, as I went through that period of my life with the terrible sciatic pain and the migraines and the diplopia, the double vision. And those words of Habakkuk and David reminded me also of my mom's words and thoughts as she wrestled with God for many years over the collapse of her marriage with my father, and her struggle to find peace and meaning and joy in her life once again. And those words remind me of countless other Christians that I have known and I have worked with throughout my years of ministry, who have endured prolonged periods of heartache and illness and loss. And I would be willing to bet that most of you in this sanctuary today have asked these same questions of God also at some point in your life, as you have perhaps struggled with maybe a failing marriage or an empty marriage, or face some kind of daunting physical ailment or challenge, perhaps faced trouble with children, or perhaps with addiction, or loneliness, or loss, or depression. That list goes on and on. You know, Habakkuk's words, though written more than 2,500 years ago, are as fresh and as timely today as they were when he first spoke them. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? I wish there was a simple and a satisfying answer to that question, but there really isn't. I mean, there's an answer, and it is ultimately satisfying, but it may not be the answer that we want to hear when we are in the eye of the storm. You know, the Lord gave an answer to Habakkuk. He said, "The revelation awaits an appointed time. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. It will certainly come and will not delay." That being said, Judah would soon be destroyed and taken into captivity by the nation of Babylon, where they would be in captivity for a couple of hundred years. And Israel waited on the Lord in bondage in Egypt for some 400 years, and then wandered in the desert for another 40 years. The lame man who's at the pool of Bethesda, we read about in the Gospels, had been an invalid waiting on the Lord to heal him for 38 years. And the blind man whom Jesus healed had been blind his whole life. You know, I can stand up here and I can easily repeat God's word to you and God's answer to your prayers and his relief from your suffering, that it will certainly come and will come without delay. But that doesn't mean that it's going to come soon. It doesn't even mean that it's necessarily going to come within your lifetime. For with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are as a day. And many a Christian have sought God's help and God's healing for days and months and years through pain and sorrow and tears. And that help and that healing and that relief never came. And thus the only way for us to understand this and to cope with this and to ultimately accept this aspect of God's salvation is through the scope of the cross and through the lens of eternity. You see, any other way to try and understand God's promises and his help and his hope and his healing will leave a person frustrated, both with God and with his promises. Because you see, God's promise of deliverance that is seldom fully realized within one's lifetime. God's promise of deliverance for Habakkuk and for the people of Judah, it was kept, the promise was kept, but it was not realized within Habakkuk's lifetime. God's promise to Adam and Eve to send the Savior, to Abraham, to have numerous descendants, to Israel, of deliverance from Egypt and into the promised land. None of that was ever realized within those people's lifetimes. And yet they continued to hope and to believe and to wait and to trust that God would keep his promises, because God is faithful. And so it is for us, that we need to continue to trust and hope and wait and believe in the Lord. Believe in him to help us and to save us and to heal us, whether that be in time or in eternity. Again, because God is faithful. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ prove God's faithfulness to us. And the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ seal his help and his healing and his salvation for us. God will save us from those things that threaten us. And he will not delay in forgiving us and having his grace be sufficient for us, and in answering our prayers. And he will come back to take us to live with him in his eternal home in his time. I wish that I could tell every Christian who is suffering and who is crying out to the Lord for help that the Lord is just going to come in, he's going to swoop on into his life, and he's going to take all of his pain and sorrow away. That'd be wonderful if I could do that. But that's not the way that God works. It's not the way that God's salvation works. You see, God's salvation is about eternity. And that has already been won for us. It's already been prepared for us because of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. The sins that at one time had separated us from God, they've all been forgiven. And thus, our eternal life with God is a sure thing. It's certain. But yet, none of that guarantees us a temporal and physical help and healing. In fact, Jesus told us that quite often the opposite is actually true. You see, because we have been saved, because we belong to Jesus in this world, we will have trouble. Again, that may not be the answer that you want to hear, but that is the answer that the Bible gives. But know this also. In the midst of that trouble, God will sustain you. Though the pain and the sorrow may not go away, his love and his grace will get you through another day. That also is a truth that the Bible tells us. I pray that you may know God's grace as you wait for his deliverance. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.